Well, A.W. Tozer said, the most important thoughts you will ever have is what comes to your mind when you think about God. The most important thoughts that you will ever have is the thoughts that come to your mind when you think about God. Are they right things about God? When I say the word God, you have something in your head. You have formed thoughts about God, who He is, what He's like, what He does. Movies portray Him as a long-bearded guy, right? With a Darth Vader voice. You know what I'm talking about. You have that same thing pictured, okay? But when I say God, you have something pictured. I have something pictured in my thoughts. But I can guarantee that what we have in our thoughts is so much less than the real thing. I can guarantee you that however glorious and grand and majestic that you think God is, He's more than that. He's better than that. The God that you and I have pictured in our heads right now is puny and small compared to the real thing. Ever since we started preaching through Isaiah, I have been waiting for chapter 40. And guess where we are today? Go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. If you want to grab one of the pew Bibles, it's on page 523. That really helps the youth kids, so I know it helps you guys also. Isaiah 40, one of my favorite chapters. Isaiah asks a bunch of rhetorical questions to just blow your mind with the greatness of God. And then he's going to remind us how stupid it is to look anywhere else for help. And I got to study Isaiah 40 all week, and I am still shocked and in awe of these words. So Isaiah 40, verse 12. We're just going to jump to verse 12 because these are the good parts. Okay. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth? Or who has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? So these are rhetorical questions going, we don't have any clue who we're dealing with. Oceans, all right? Just pause there. We go to the ocean and we get overwhelmed at its size. It just goes on forever. And we're actually kind of scared at what lurks beneath the surface, right? You guys watch the movie Jaws? Okay. You don't have PTSD then. And get this, he holds it in his hands. The ocean. Five men could not pick up this baptismal today. I know, you think you could. I know, yeah. Arr, 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 arr. It's 250 gallons. I did the math. We no chance. We have to drain it. And now God holds the ocean in his hand without effort. We have no idea who we are singing to when we sing, Behold Your God. You have too small a view of God in your head. I have too small a view of God. Or how about this one? Weighed the mountains. You guys know how much they weigh? We pick up a rock no bigger than a basketball, and that's about all we can handle. It's heavy. But a mountain? It's incomprehensible. A rock that size. Have you measured the heavens? We'll get there later. Just hang on. Isaiah points you back to creation and is saying to you today this one thing. Have you considered that God is as powerful today as he was when he created the world? He didn't like use his energy then, and now he's just kind of like soft and weak. He is as powerful today, right now, as we sang to him this morning, as he was when he made the world. This is why I don't like church. My wife told me not to be all ho-hum and Eeyore. I'm like, sorry. it's just kind of in me. Because all week, I've been soaking in Isaiah 40 and the greatness of God, and you get 20 minutes of it. You're missing out, is all I'm saying. And I fail to present all that's here in these words. So Isaiah 40, 13 and 14, we got to keep going. Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? The answer is no one. Who knows enough to give him advice or to teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instructions about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? Like, here's the way I put it. Who can really give God an IQ test? It's silly. Right now, anybody who is good at something needed to be taught, needed to be coached. There was practice. You had to study. You had trial and error. Every expert now was once a beginner. Okay? Not God. Not God. His wisdom is unsearchable. His wisdom is limitless. Have you realized that God cannot learn because he already knows everything? We don't learn because we're stubborn. He can't learn because there's nothing he doesn't know. I told you you have too small of God pictures in your head. The gap between the wisdom that you know now and when you were five is measurable. The gap between the wisdom of God and all information on the planet right now, all databases, all discoveries, all science, all calculations, is immeasurable compared to the wisdom and the greatness of God. I know, it's hard. It's hard. God is not discovering how the brain works like we are. He designed it. He thought of it. Consider that. That all science is just discovering God's creation. God is not threatened by anything in the world. Nothing. We're going to read about it. It's laughable to him. Isaiah 40, verses 15 through 17. No, there's the answer. All the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as if it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing in his eyes. They count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. Mighty, mighty nations, do not worry, God. What about Egypt, Assyria, China, Russia? Mighty nations, don't worry, God. They are a drop in the bucket. He calls them a grain of sand. They're just dust on the scale. Not even worth mentioning. And then verse 16, all the wood in Lebanon and all the redwood cedars in California that tower hundreds of feet and all the animals of the earth would not be enough sacrifice worthy of our God. That's how great he is. There is only one sacrifice that is worthy of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ gave his own blood in exchange for ours. He tasted death so that we could have life. That is the only sacrifice worthy of the greatness of our God. Isaiah 40, 18 through 20. Got to keep going. To whom can you compare God? I told you I was excited about this. What image are you going to find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold? Even if they overlay it with gold and decorate it with silver chains, Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose a wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. This is idol worship. It is laughable. It is stupid. With a God so great as him, how silly it is for us to turn to a statue made of porcelain or stone or wood. How stupid it is when we turn to created things rather than the Creator. Do you think in your head that he's too busy for your problems? Or do you think that he's maybe too tired? He's like busy running the world. He doesn't have time for your stuff. So he says it again for repetition in verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Who is equal? Asks the Holy One. That's a rhetorical question. No one even stands a chance. Well, what about if we put all of our efforts together? Doesn't matter. What about all the angels, all the forces in hell, all demons, or the devil? Nothing in comparison to God. Dust on a scale. Isaiah 40, 25, 26. We're going to go 26 to 27. You got to read this. Look up into the heavens. If you guys are ever doubting the greatness of God, who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. So here it comes, verse 27. O Jacob, that's a word for Israel, like my people. Let's just go ahead and throw in, O believers. How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. Look at this. He never grows weak or weary. No one can understand the depths of his understanding. I'm going to ask you to geek out with me for a little bit. If you've been sleeping, this is the good part. This just does it for me, okay? This is what he says. Look at the stars. Who made them? Here we go. Our sun, ready? Our sun is simply just a close star. That's all our sun is. All the other stars are just as bright or way brighter. They're just really, really far away, okay? Geek out with me. Our sun is a million times bigger than the Earth. The temperature at the center is a smooth 27 million degrees. Now, I don't know how they measure that, because when I put a thermometer in my mouth, it says error. But they somehow know how hot the middle is. All right, so get this. It is 93 million miles away. Our sun, just track with this. It can still burn you. 93 million miles away, and you thought that your bonfire was impressive. That's very cute. Oh, you got a pallet in there? Look who made the stars. Look who made the sun. Now get this. Our sun is just one of 100 billion suns in our galaxy. You got to understand the greatness of God. Our sun, big burning ball of flame, 27 million degrees, a million times bigger than the Earth, is one of 100 billion stars in our galaxy. I know you can't track this, because I can't track this. And I thought about this for days. Our galaxy is incomprehensibly big. Do this with me, because it testifies to how great our God is. When we sing this last song, I want it to affect you. Our galaxy is incomprehensibly big. Okay, speed of light. I'm sorry, but this is cool. If you were traveling at the speed of light, you would make 8 laps around the Earth in 1 second. Okay? 8 laps around this Earth in 1 second. All right? You think that's fast, don't you? Now take it times 1,000. So you are now going 8,000 times around the earth every second, right? That's how fast we're traveling, all right? Now just picture you went zing, okay? You got to track this with me. This is really how uncomprehendably big God is. 8,000 times a second, and all of a sudden we launch. There's 2 seconds. How far would you go in 10 seconds? How far would you go in a minute? Now get this. Before you got to the edge of our galaxy, at that speed, 66 years. I know. I need to crap my pants too, okay? Now, he's not done yet. He's not done. Our galaxy, 66 years to just get to the edge, is one of billions and billions and billions of galaxies. You should feel small right now. Now let me read it to you one more time and just see if it hits different. Verse 26, look up into the heavens. Who created all these stars? He brings them out one by another, calling them each by their name because of his great power and incomparable strength. Not a single one is missing. Oh, church, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth, he doesn't grow weak or weary. No one can measure the greatness of his understanding. Whatever you have pictured in your mind about God is so much less than the real thing. This is why I was looking forward to this chapter. And here's the most shocking part of this whole thing. Though his greatness is unmeasurable, this God, who made the galaxies, he is surprisingly close and intimate. Isn't that shocking to you? The most shocking part is that in all this grandeur and greatness, he holds the oceans in his hand. He can weigh the scales. The earth is just a grain of sand to him. He is surprisingly close to his creation. He speaks to us. He gives us his word. He doesn't get tired of your prayers. He's not annoyed by you. Why? Why turn to anything else for comfort, for hope? Why turn anywhere else for protection, for forgiveness, for salvation, for everything? So hopefully when we sing this next song, it hits different. Let's pray. God, your greatness is more than I can comprehend. But I pray that it shocks our hearts enough that we want to hunger for you more. That we wouldn't be satisfied in shiny new things, but that we would be bored with them until we get to the greatness of you. May we hunger for you as we sing, Behold Our God. Amen.